morning, everyone. So I brought money here because I don't really like people clapping for me and, you know, woman of God and all that. So I thought I'll bring her here so we'll share the clap together. Whoop, whoop. Go, money. Thank you. God bless you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's always a pleasure and a great privilege to be in the house of God every single day. And then when we gather in a large group on a Sunday, it's a privilege. Pastor D was saying how quite a few people have lost their lives. And these things tend to happen towards the end of the year. But you and I are here today, not because we know how to press our brakes when we are driving. We are here not because we know how to choose the right plane, the right airline, the right train, the right underground. It's not even because we are obedient enough not to go to the wrong places at the wrong or the right time. It's only by the grace and by the mercies of God that you and I are alive today. You and I are not better than those who have gone down into the grave. In fact, some of them can pray more than us. Some of them can fast more than us. Some of them live lives that are holier than you and I. Some of them don't know how to gossip. Some of them don't know how to backbite. Some of them don't know how to do wrong, but they are in the grave. It's because of the Lord's mercy that you and I have not been consumed. When you look back at your life, when you look back at the years that you have spent, and you look back on this year alone, some of you should have lost your minds. Whenever I'm in my GP practice and I'm speaking to patients, the ones with anxiety, depression, the mental health ones, whenever I speak to them, it's like I'm speaking to people that I know, people within. But I'm like, the difference is that you have Jesus. You have a safe place. You have a safe haven. And you haven't lost your mind, even though some of us have been at the brink of losing our minds. And it has been by the grace of God. It's not your ability. It's not my ability. So for the next few moments, can you just open your mouth and just tell God, God, thank you. Jesus Christ said to Peter, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you because the enemy's plan was to have sifted you as wheat. But Jesus, 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 he said, Peter, I have prayed for you. The plan of the enemy when you walked through the fire was for you to get burnt. But someone like the Son of God, Son of Man, stayed with you in the fire whilst you were in the fire. I want you to open your mouth and declare thanksgiving to God. The enemy planned to sift you like wheat, and the enemy is wondering, how are you still standing? How are you still surviving? How have you survived being in the lion's den? And Daniel's reply was, my God sent angels to shut the mouth of the lions. Not because I, Daniel, am anointed, not because I know how to pray, but because God sent angels to shut the mouth of the lions. That is why I have not been consumed by the mouth of the lions. Jonah being in the belly of a fish, after 3 days he came out. The Bible draws an analogy of Jesus Christ and Jonah together being under the earth. It is by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God. Somebody open your mouth and give God thanks. Hezekiah said to God, when God had given him time to pack up his things because he was going to die. Hezekiah said, oh God, the grave cannot praise you. The grave cannot praise you. Many people want to praise God, but they are no more today. Many people want to praise God, but they have lost, in quotes, their salvation, and they have lost what they, the very thing that they believed in because of the things that have happened. You and I are still in the Christian faith, not because we understand God, not because our situations are not horrible, but because of his grace and mercy. I thought somebody would give God thanks. I thought you would open your mouth and declare thanksgiving to God. Brother Kenton, please help me out. I want you to fill this space with a voice of thanksgiving. I want you to fill this place with gratitude. I want you to fill this place with gratitude. The Bible describes Jesus Christ when he was going to be crucified and he was carrying his cross. The Bible says somebody came and helped him carry his cross. Some of you have been carrying things that have been too heavy for you. And along the way, God has sent people around you to help carry the cross. The cross hasn't gone away. But along the line, he has sent people around you to help bear the pain. Do I have anyone who is grateful in this place this afternoon? Open your mouth and declare thanksgiving to God. The Bible says that whilst he hung there on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? And the Bible says, whilst all that was going on, they had prepared a tomb that no man had ever stayed on. Before Christ got to the cross, he didn't have a place to be buried. Before he got there, after he had died, that's when the tomb was, well, they said, okay, here, this is the tomb that no man has laid in. Put the master in. And before then, before he was raised, all things were being made new. The Bible says that Maria Casalabo, even the people who were dead were raised back to life because of his death and because of his resurrection. Do you realize that the things that you are going through, though painful, there is life being birthed through you. There is life being birthed through those situations and through those circumstances. Somebody open your mouth and give God thanks. I hope you have not come to hear a man preach. You have not come to hear the words of anyone, because I have no words to offer you. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. The words that we have come to hear are the words from Christ. They are the words from God. If not for the Lord who was on our side. And so God, as the year comes to a close, we who are part of the living, we who are alive, we who are in our right minds, we who are in our senses, we've come to say thank you. I've come to say thank you. In Jesus' name we've given thanks. Amen. And so God, as we carry on with the service today, we ask that your word will come to us and will be life and will bring life to us. That you will speak to us in the very areas of our lives that we need a touch from you. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. When you learn how to give God thanks, you would realize that your life is not that horrible. You would realize that your life is not that horrible. Because whatever you focus on, you magnify. When Jesus Christ was faced with 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fish, the Bible says that he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. He didn't look at the situation that was around him, that was before him. But he looked up to heaven. God help you and I to change our gaze and change our focus in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Change your gaze, change your focus in the name of Jesus. So we're in a season of God's time, your chance. Is it chance, God's time, my chance. Can we turn our Bibles to, and for those of you who don't know how I minister, whenever I minister, I use a lot of scriptures. So if you just bear with me as I go through quite a few scriptures today. I'm going to read 3 scriptures before I go into my main text. Can I have one person go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 to 44? If Dorinda can have Ecclesiastes 9, 11 to 12. Can I have, Moni, can you go to Matthew 24, 43 to 44? Everyone is going to read Ecclesiastes 9 together. And then can I have Minister Elizabeth, do you mind going to 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32? Do you want to get a microphone, please? Then just pass it around. I don't know what microphone you need to use. Is it that one? Anyone? Okay. Thank you. If you could have this one. If you can have Ecclesiastes 9, verses 11 to 12 on the screen, please. Okay. And whatever you do this afternoon, I want you to pay close attention to what God is saying to us this afternoon. Forget about every form of distraction. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Can we read this together, please? Verse 12, please read this. Let's read this together. Okay, can we read that verse again? Just that last one. Thank you. Moni, can you read what the version I asked, the book I asked you to read, please? Matthew 24, verses 43 to 44. 43 to 44. I can't hear you. Sorry. I need to put on the mic. It's dead. Okay. Do you want to use this?
But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Thank you. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, Miss Elizabeth.
Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command.
Thank you very much. I'm going to read these 3 scriptures as one. I'm going to read Matthew 24, 43 to 44, Ecclesiastes 9, 11 to 12, and 1 Chronicles 12, 32 as one big lump. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, because you don't know the hour. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Basically, you don't know the hour that the Son of Man will come. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all, for man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of man are snared in an evil time, when it falls upon them suddenly. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I'm going to read it again. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. I'm going to say that again. But know this, that if the good man or the owner of the house had known the hour or the time that the thief would come, he would have watched, he would have been prepared, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you ready, because you don't know the hour in which the Son of Man comes. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding. But chance, time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. And of the children of Issachar, there were men that had understanding of the times. I'll read it one more time. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what time, somebody say what time, the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken in. Therefore, be you ready, because you don't know the hour that the Son of Man comes. I returned and I saw under the sun that, but time and chance happens to them all. And of the children of Issachar, there were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The title of my message for Jamie, really, for the podcast is Understanding Your Times, Troubled Times. Now, the Bible says that, you know, it's not to the strong, it's not to the wise, it's not to those who have bread, you know, the good things that happen. But time and chance happens to everyone. My question is, if time and chance happen to everyone, why is it that most of us or some of us miss our timing? It would be very silly of me to be expecting. I want everyone to stay focused this afternoon, please, so that I can finish very quickly. I really want to hit a point home, and I want everyone to stay focused, please. It would be very, you would think I was crazy if I had been expecting a particular time to come, and that time came, and I intentionally missed it. But you and I go through life, and we're constantly missing times and chances that come to us. And the reason I read these three scriptures is because when our time comes, we don't realize that our time has actually come. Because the Bible says that if the owner of the house had known the time of the opportunity, if the owner of the house had known the time of his or her breakthrough, or in that case, the breaking in of the thief, they would have watched. Same thing with you and I. If we know the time of our opportunities, if we know the time of our breakthroughs, we will be on alert and we wouldn't miss it. But what the Bible is trying to tell us, especially in verse 12 of Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, Ecclesiastes 9, 12, is that man does not really know his time. Because when your time comes, it doesn't come like you expect it to. I'll just give you a very quick example about myself, and I'm going to carry on reading the scriptures. For those of you who may or may not know, when I did my final exams to become a GP, I failed my exam by one mark. And before I had failed my exam, the place I was working where I was a registrar, had already offered me a job. In fact, by the grace of God, I didn't even need an interview. They didn't even interview me. They just said, just carry on. Basically, you're finishing your training in February. Just basically the next day. Today you're a GP registrar, tomorrow you're a GP. Everybody was happy. You know, you don't even pray about these things. You just say, hey, God has favored me, God has buttered my bread. So everyone was like really rooting for me to pass my exams. On the day of the results, everyone, like, my phone was just buzzing. Have you received it? No, I've not received it. So the result came out and I saw fail. You don't know. You don't know. No, you don't know. It was like, you know, it was like I was in a movie. Especially when you pray, you know when you pray now. You think everything will just happen. So I told my, I texted, I said I failed, 1 mark, and then all my, they said we're going to appeal, we should write emails. So I wrote email speaking grammar, and they replied me to speaking grammar, and you know, you're going to retake this exam. It was very frustrating for me because it was like having to repeat a few months again in my training because of 1 mark. So I carried on doing what I needed to do, and my husband, as always, very encouraging. I can't remember what he said now, but it was encouraging. Along the lines of, God, whatever your situation you find yourself in, don't worry, God is there, you know. God is going to bring out his glory. I remember when I was at work, late into the evening, I was revising for my re-seat exam, and I got a call. Usually, whenever I get these calls, I'm very abrupt on the phone because it's usually PPI. Oh, were you in a car accident? No, God forbid, I don't do car accidents. So I got this call, but they said I was going to pick it up and I was going to actually be polite. And then the guy was like, oh, we got your number from someone. There's a GP practice looking for a job, for a GP, blah, 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 blah. And we got your details because you're coming towards the end of your training. Can I just divert and say that's not the time to say, I failed my exam. Some of you, some guy, the guy you've been liking, comes to you and says, Moni, I want to ask you. That's not the time to start saying, do you know that in my family, this is the sickness that runs? Wisdom. So they called me and they said, would you like this job? So by this time, I already believe in God. I'm not going to fail my exam the second time. I was just like, you know, just send me the details, because at this time I was preparing for my exams. I didn't really want any distractions. Send me the details. So the guy sent me the details and he was like, send your CV. So for weeks I wasn't sending my CV because what is the CV I'm sending? I'm actually not qualified, so there's no CV to send. So the guy kept on bothering me, sending me emails. You know, I finally said, okay, I'll just put something together. So I just put something together because at the end of the day, I was not really looking at that job because my current place of work, even though I had failed the exam, they were still going to wait for me and give me another job. Bearing in mind that all this while, I hadn't even asked God where he wanted me to work. Cut long story short, I finally sent them the CV and they said to me, okay, the agency called me and he said, just come on this Friday, come to the place and come and see what it looks like. I was like, fine. So it was not an interview, just come and see the building. Sorry, my story is getting long, I'll be quick. So on the Friday, I was having a very stressful Friday, as all Fridays are, you know, when it gets towards the end of the week. I had so much paperwork to do. I had seen all my patients and people want to, you know, talk extra and all that. And I had to be at that place. I can't remember what time. Let me just say 4 o'clock. So by 3:30, by past 3, I already had so much to do. I was like, it's not an interview. They're just calling me to go and see the place. But I've learned that you don't turn people, you know, when you have appointments with people, you don't just not turn up. Thank God I had that mentality before. I didn't realize it was an interview. So I went my hair anyhow, my flat. Moni, please bring my shoes. Show them the shoes. Those are the shoes I wore that day. Because I didn't know I was going for an interview. So I didn't even comb my hair, no lipstick, nothing. Just went there. And then I walked into the office and there was a panel. I was like, I'm the one who's to be asking you questions. And then I didn't prepare. There was nothing. They were just asking me questions. What would you? Anyways, I was like, Holy Spirit, just come upon me right now because I was not prepared for this. Anyways, cut long story short, when I finished the interview, they're like, please just take this job. They're like, how much do you want us to pay you? I'm like, I need to consult my husband though, because I haven't even decided. I didn't even know that. Anyways, cut long story short, We prayed about it. The woman followed me out and she's like, please really take a job. We really like you. We really want you to come. Anyways, by this time, I didn't tell them I had failed my exam. I was sitting down there as someone who had failed the exam. If they're watching Facebook Live, this is the first time they're hearing that whilst I was doing that interview, I had not passed my exam. Anyways, cut long story short, I accepted the job and that's where I am today. Now, The job where I was, where they had given me the offer, the previous offer, was a GP registrar. I'm really sorry. I'm going to round up my story up very soon, but I'm going somewhere. So now I have two people pulling on me. Stay. We want you. So I had secured the new job, and I was like, fine, I'll stay here. Then this old place, I was just like, your terms and conditions, I don't really want your terms and conditions. But my husband and my father-in-law said, you know, people have been good to you. You don't just turn your back on them. So why don't you just negotiate with them, because they want to keep you? And they said to me, because you don't know tomorrow. So Timmy, in case you're wondering where all my offering is coming from, that's where my offering is coming from. I work there once a week because you don't just, now I have a new job. The payment I get there once a week, when you add everything together, it's almost equivalent to how much I get in my new place per month, bearing in mind that the new place asks me how much they want me to pay me. I've said all this to tell you this. When you are faced with times and chances, they don't always present you like you expect them to. Your chance and your opportunities don't come shouting, I am your chance, I am your opportunity. They don't. And I was going through the scripture, I was going through the Bible, and I saw a trend of everyone who became a champion. They said AJ, I don't know, they said somebody was boxing yesterday. My husband left there and said he's going to watch boxing. I don't know if you can watch boxing at home, but maybe it's nicer when you're with people. But anyway, I heard that people were boxing. But there is no championship, there is no belt, there is no victory without a fight. Every time in your life, Minister Elizabeth, where you are faced with a troublesome or compromising or a crisis situation, it is because there is a championship at stake. Every time, somebody say the word time. Every time you are faced with trouble, every time you are faced with calamity, every time you are faced with a crisis, that is the time. Somebody say time. That is the time for your breakthrough. That is the time for your elevation, because there is no championship without a fight. There is no elevation without a battle. So I'm going to read a few scriptures to you, and we're going to pray to God to give us strength for us not to give up. Because whenever you and I are faced with troubles, that's when we want to quit. That's when we want to let go. Very quickly. John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus Christ was going on and on a lot about the time, the hour has come for him to be glorified. The hour has come for him, for this thing to happen to him, for that to happen to him. I'm going to read it very quickly. John chapter 12, verse 23. Brother Kenton, can you help me out? Because I don't plan to preach for long. John chapter 12, verse 23. If you read this scripture, this is about the death of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 23, that Jesus Christ answered unto them and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then he goes on and on, and he begins to say certain things in there. John chapter 13, verse 31. I want us to turn there. John 13:31. John 13:31. Are we there? Don't worry, I'm building something, but I need you to stick with me and not get distracted. John 13:31 says, now when he had gone out, Jesus Christ said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. John 12:23 said, Jesus Christ answered them and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. John 13:31-32 says, and now when he had gone out, Jesus Christ said, now the Son of Man is glorified. Can anyone tell me what happened in between these two places? Where are my Bible scholars? What happened in between those two scriptures? Where are my Bible scholars? Remember, I said one of the ways to recognize your time is by trouble. Sorry. He was preparing for his betrayal. That's the word betrayal. Before the betrayal happened, Jesus Christ said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And then in John chapter 13, they have a bit of a squiggle, him and his disciples and Judas. And Jesus Christ said unto Judas, whatever your, the Bible says that Satan entered into him, and Jesus Christ said unto Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. And the Bible says that, and after he received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately. And the next verse tells us that, and when he had gone out, Jesus Christ said, now the Son of Man is glorified. I'm going to read a few scriptures and I'm going to tie everything together in a second. Just bear with me. Whenever you are faced in a situation in your life where you can see betrayal, do you realize that it's an opportunity for you to be glorified? Jesus Christ said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Judas gets up and goes to betray Jesus. And Jesus Christ's response is that now the Son of Man is glorified. Another example is the story of Paul. You don't have to turn there, in Acts chapter 28, verse 6. The Bible describes a scenario where there is, Paul has been shipwrecked, you name it, it happened to Paul. And it got to a point where he found himself in a little village or whatever you may want, in an island called Malta. And then he gathered some sticks, basically, because it was very cold, and he decided to warm himself up. And the Bible says that in verse 3 of Acts chapter 28, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out and fastened onto his hand. I want you to stick with me because I'm building a picture. So the first one I said to you, I said, Jesus Christ said, the hour has come for me to be glorified. Judas gets up to betray him, and his response is, now I am glorified. Something else comes to kill Paul. Something comes to destroy Paul. It's a viper. For those of you who don't know what a viper is, a viper would release venom and it will kill you in different ways. And the Bible says that the thing that was actually brought up to kill Paul was what made him a god in the eye of the people of the island. The Bible says that the natives were watching very closely. I want to see how he's going to handle this battle. I want to see how he's going to handle this situation. Because remember, I said to you, time and chance happen to them all, but men don't understand when the time is. Because if time was to present itself to you and say, this is me, this is time for me to manifest, you would act appropriately. And the Bible says, as I read to you at the very beginning, that if the good man of the house knew the time the thief would come, they would be ready. And the reason why you and I don't follow Ecclesiastes 9, chapter 9, verse 11, which says it's not to the swift, to the strong, to the wise, but time and chance, is because we do not understand the times we are faced. So Jesus Christ understood that if I get betrayed, it is an opportunity for me to be glorified, because how I respond will determine the next step. Then Paul gets to a situation where he's faced with a venomous situation, something that has been created to kill him, something that has been created to kill his faith, to kill his hope, to kill his mind, to kill his marriage, to kill his children, to kill himself. And the Bible says that he just shook it off into the fire, because Paul realized that I am being faced with a time and a chance. If I crumble in front of these people, if I crumble in front of these people of this island who do not know God, I will bring the name of the Lord down. Secondly, they will have helped the snake to kill Paul, because the Bible says they said they thought he was a murderer. If you read the scripture in verse 4, they said to him, "No doubt this man is a murderer," and they would have killed Paul. And so Paul then shakes it off into the fire. And in verse 6, when you scroll down the line, they watched for a long time. Somebody say time. They watched Paul for a long time and they saw no harm come to him. And they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Remember that I said to you at the very beginning, whenever you are faced with a crisis situation, it means that there is a championship at hand. And one person has to get the belt. One person has to win the battle. And so there is things. Okay, I don't want to need drums. I thought he was coming to drum. And the Bible says they changed their minds about him. Minister Elizabeth, every time you are faced with a viper, every time you are faced with something that has been designed to kill you, do you realize it is your time to shine? Do you realize that everything that has come to kill and to destroy you, it is your time? Somebody says, it's my time. Stop waiting for your time to come in gold, because you will miss it. Stop waiting to get that job when you have passed your exam, because you will miss it. That's why I gave you that example. Don't wait till you can see that I have passed my exam. That's when I'm going to get a job. No, you would miss it. This thing has come to kill me. It has come at such a time as this. A time where I should be flexing and telling them about how great my God is. A viper has come to attach itself to me to kill me. I refuse to back down. But you and I miss our timing. We miss that chance. We miss that opportunity. Because we do not realize the trouble has come to promote us. Another example is a time of lack, famine, or want. I want you to turn to Ruth, the book of Ruth, because I want to show you something. Every time, I'm going to say this until I finish preaching. Every time you are faced with a difficult situation, that time is your time. I'm going to say this again. Don't wait for the gold. Don't wait for the gold dust. Don't wait for the things that shout opportunity. Don't wait for the things that shout glory. He has hidden treasures in earthen vessels. Ruth chapter 1. And it came to pass in the days when judges ruled. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to the country of Moab, and his wife and his sons. And his name was Elimelech. Somebody stick with me. I'm building a picture. Your time doesn't come shouting gold. Your time doesn't come shouting opportunity. It comes hidden. Otherwise, everyone will grab their time. There was a famine in the land, and a certain man took his family from the area of famine and he went on to Moab. And the Bible then decides to give him a whole verse. And the Bible introduces him as the man called Elimelech. And the Bible says that his wife was Naomi. And the Bible then calls the names of his two sons. And the Bible says that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died in Moab. So Elimelech missed his time. How do I know? Ruth chapter 2 verse 1. Ruth chapter 2 verse 1. When Naomi and Ruth had gone back to Judah, the Bible says that there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Can I tell you people, that Elimelech and Boaz were in the same land of the famine. Time and chance happened to both of them. Someone saw crisis as an opportunity to progress. Someone saw crisis as an opportunity to get the belt, to get the championship, to skip a level, to go higher, to go upward. Someone recognized that timings and opportunities don't come as I want them to. And for the one who did not realize that opportunities don't come flashing and shouting, "Here I am." For the one who realized that opportunities come very subtle, to those who are being very observant, Elimelech leaves the area. He doesn't take opportunity. He doesn't take hold of the time of famine. He doesn't grasp the time of want. The Bible says that he leaves whilst Boaz stays. And Boaz becomes a very wealthy man. Somebody say time. Somebody say chance. It happens to all of us, but not everyone grabs it because not everybody realizes what time they are in. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar understood times. They knew what to do in that time. You and I are wasting our pain. How many mothers have given birth to a baby before? I mean, you've pushed from here out. Okay. You cannot waste the contractions, okay? You cannot afford to waste the contractions. You have everyone around you telling you to scream and to push. The place is rowdy. The place is rowdy. The time of pain is not the time to give up. The time of pain is not the time to give up. The time at your weakest is not the time to give up. My mother-in-law said to me that when I was giving birth to Kadesh, apparently my eyes, the white of my eyes, the black of my eye, I don't even know which part of my eye, was just rolling to the back. And I could just hear people shouting, "Hey, push! Hey, push! Ah, push! Hey, hey, push, push!" And each time, I became very tired. They said that they can see the baby's head. Oh, it's not the time. Push. Otherwise, this baby can die in your womb. Because the baby was halfway. Ajake, if you want to come out of this delivery room alive, if you want Kadesh to be born alive, you can't stop now. Because Kadesh was halfway. My husband was shouting, "Baby, push." My mother-in-law said my eyes were, I was dizzy. I don't even know if I was dizzy, if I was dying, I don't know. Push. Somebody say push. The time of your pain is not the time to stop. The time of your pain is not the time to stop. The Bible says that the angel came and said to Lot, "Just come out, okay?" Lot and his wife and his two daughters. The Bible says that she could hear the brimstone falling down from heaven and all the chaos and all the noise. When you can hear chaos and you can hear noise, when there is trouble and there is shaking, that is not the time to stop. You keep moving. Somebody say time. Somebody say time. Remember I said I'm building a picture. I'm going somewhere and I haven't even gotten there yet. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine. And Isaac understood the time." Somebody said the times. Isaac understood that the time for me to fulfill the promise of greatness that my father Abraham had. He understood money. Maybe he could hear me when I was preaching. And he heard that I was saying that your opportunities and your times don't come as gold. They don't come obvious. Maybe he heard. Maybe he saw the flyer that said, "Kairos, God's time, your chance." And the Bible says there was a famine in the land. Please go to verse 12. And Isaac said, "There is something I know about time and chance. Otherwise, we'll all grab it and we can't all be the president. We can't all be I know they said the sky is big, everybody can fly. Even amongst those who are flying, there are still people in front, whether you want to accept it or not. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year, of famine, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him in the time of famine. Money, recognize your time. If there is anybody in this church right now, and you can hear my voice, and you are in a season of the viper, you are in a season of betrayal, you are in a season where things are arising to kill you, kill your faith, hear me and hear me very well. There is a championship at stake. This is your time. This thing you're going through, this phase is your time. If you're in a phase of lack, famine, want, remember Isaac. Remember Boaz. And understand that this is your time. John chapter 5 verse 4. Another way to recognize your time. It says that there was a certain season. Let me open my Bible so that I can also receive. Because I don't know about you, but me personally, in my life right now, I am in a time where I need to grab the time. Because things are not looking as the opportunities that I would want them to look like. John chapter 5. I'm going to read it very well. I'm going to read this one very well because I want you to hear it. Sorry, I'm going to read verse 3. It says that in Jerusalem, there was a sheep gate. There was a pool. And in this place, there was great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4 is where I'm going. For an angel went down at a certain time. Somebody say time. Somebody say time. Say time. Somebody say time. An angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. Another version in the King James Version, it says troubled. Are we in the King James, please? It says, and it troubled the water. And the Bible then says, whoever enters first after the troubling was made whole. I'm not asking you to create trouble in your life. I'm not even asking you to create drama in your life. We are not those who just go around fighting and looking for trouble. We don't do that. But just because you see trouble doesn't mean there is no opportunity inside the trouble. This guy's healing was inside the trouble. His deliverance from this ailment that he had had. The Bible says he had been there. He had had this problem for 38 years. And then there was a troubling around him. And anyone who went into at that time, somebody say time. Somebody who was not intimidated by the trouble around them. The lame, the blind, the deaf, whatever the problem was, this troubled water, Pastor Tunji, was not biased to our problem. In fact, if somebody who had baby skin entered the water, the baby skin would become even fresher. If someone with leprosy entered the water, that person with leprosy would have been healed. The troubled water was not biased. It was a season. And anyone who entered first received what they were looking for. Esther was an ordinary woman, an ordinary queen, a pretty queen with favor upon her life. But until there was trouble, Esther would have just died. Like, how many queens do we know in the Bible? Esther would have died like any other ordinary queen who had God's favor. Until there was trouble. And she realized that a time of trouble is my time to manifest. And she grabbed it. Two more examples. And we're going to pray. Daniel chapter 2 verse 1. If you can turn there very quickly. Thank you, Dorinda. I know I'm giving a lot of scriptures, but that's usually the way I minister. Daniel chapter 2 verse 1. It says that in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed dreams and his spirit was troubled. His spirit was so troubled, the Bible says that he threatened he was going to chop up all the wise men in pieces and throw them in dunghills. If you don't believe me, read the scriptures when you get home. He gave them a first chance and they were all saying story. He became very angry and he said, all of you, I'm going to chop you up. A law came into the land. Let me read it so people don't think I'm forming story. Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to read that one in your hearing. And he called all the astrologers and all that. They came before the king and they couldn't tell him the dream. And in verse 5, he says, if you will not make known to me this interpretation, you will be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now, a law had been passed that said, I'm going to cut up all of you. A national law was made. Now, I've moved from your personal life now. I'm now talking on a national level. Daniel would have died an ordinary wise man, an ordinary astrologer like the other ones, if he did not grab and grasp and know that this time of trouble is a time of my elevation. The Bible says that Daniel then decides to go before God, and then God gives Daniel the interpretation. And in verse 46, something happens in verse 46. Daniel becomes a god unto Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is one of the proudest kings you can ever find. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar falls on his face and worships Daniel. Somebody say he worships Daniel. And then Nebuchadnezzar then commands that they should offer oblation and sweet odors unto him. That is what you do to gods. That is what you do to idols. You bow down and you worship them. And then you raise up oblation and sweet odors unto them. Daniel became a god that very moment because he saw trouble as his time and chance and he grabbed it. Daniel was not afraid in the face of trouble. Daniel was not backing down and crumbling in the face of trouble. Daniel did not say, oh my God, they're going to cut us up in pieces. Oh Lord, accept my soul as they chop me up. No, Daniel said, Lord, I will seek your face. I will hear what you have to say because I realize that time and chance does not present itself to me as gold. It hides itself in earthen vessels. And the Bible says that then the king made Daniel a great man. That is the next verse. And he gave him many great gifts and he made him ruler over the province of Babylon. But until then, Daniel was just an ordinary wise man who had his choo-choo cut off. He was an Enoch. For those of you who don't know what that means, Google. He had his beats chopped up. Oh, some beats anyway. He would have died an ordinary man. The final example I was going to give you about this troubled situation is Joseph. The Bible says that Pharaoh's spirit was troubled again because Pharaoh had a dream. This is from Genesis 41. You don't have to turn there. And then Joseph decides to grab this opportunity, and he did not allow bitterness to set in his heart. And he grabs it. He grabs it. And the last example I'm going to give, the first one was vipers. The second one was lack or famine. The other one I gave you was trouble. And the last one I'm going to give you is giants. And we're going to pray. Every other Israelite saw this giant. The Bible says that, what's his name? Goliath presented himself to the Israelites for 40 days. Every day he was coming to intimidate the Israelites. And David saw this time. He saw this as an opportunity for him to, whatever word you want to use, for him to manifest. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. Can we take the keyboard up? 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. It says that at that time it came to pass in 1 Samuel 17, verse 48. Somebody say, it came to pass. At a set time, at a particular time, when the Philistine arose, that David ran towards the army to beat the Philistine. I'm going to pray for those of you who have had lots of giants, lots of times of famine, lots of times of lack, lots of times of troubles, lots of times of vipers and venomous situations. And all you have done is backed off and backed down. You have seen trouble and you have run away. You have not realized that those were opportunities and times for you to be elevated and be who, at least part of what God has created you to be. Troubles were not made to crush you. Troubles were not made to destroy you. The Bible says, he teaches my arms to war. He teaches my arms to war. Lariebos katalebo shintalabanaba. Rabakes inanamashekalaba. The Bible then says, that I say unto you, unless a corn of wheat falls onto the ground and dies, that it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. Your multiplication, Jen, is in your dying. It is not in your living. It is not in the gold dust. It is in the areas of isolation where you fight the lion and the bear. That way you can stand and face Goliath. Don't miss your chance. Don't miss your time, because you're waiting for something very flamboyant. I want you to open your mouth to God this afternoon and pray. Before I lead you into any prayer points, whatever you have heard today, I want you to cry out to God and pray. Talk to God about what you have heard today. I don't know about you, but I know I have missed many opportunities because they were camouflaged as trouble. I have missed many opportunities because they were camouflaged as vipers. I have missed opportunities because they came in a time of lack, famine, and want. I have missed opportunities because the waters were too troubled, and I don't want to go near trouble. I don't like what they call in my country, wahala. I like peace. But there are times where your breakthrough is when you run and face Goliath, and you stare Goliath in the face, and you have a conversation with Goliath. Sometimes you need to face your demons. Stop running away from them. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Time and chance happens to all of us. Happens to all of us. But the Bible says, if you knew the time the thief will come and break into your house, you will be prepared. But the reason you and I are where we are today is because we keep missing our times. Because we are waiting for an announcement. But I have come to tell you today, time and chance don't announce to you that it is at the door. Time and chance don't announce to you it is at the door. One prime minister quits today, time and chance happens to the next. There is no time for preparation. Somebody needs to be put in. Time and chance happens, usually in the time of trouble. Somebody open your mouth and pray this afternoon. The Bible says that if you're faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rabas Kenama, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Before I tell you what to pray about, you know what chances you have lost by virtue of your fatigue. Like I said to you, if I had stopped pushing halfway, I don't know who would have died. Myself or the child, God forbid. The time you feel the weakest is not the time to stop. The time you want to give up like Lot's wife is not the time to look back. If you put your hand to the plow and you turn back, you are not fit for the kingdom. Nobody's asking you to run at 100 miles per hour. If you are crawling, you crawl. If you are running, you run. If you're flying, you fly. But whatever you do, you don't stop. Whatever you do, you don't give up. Whatever you do, you don't look back. Somebody open your mouth and pray. You have this chance right now. The Bible says that a certain season came, and the angel troubled the water. The angel troubled the water. I believe there is a presence here. There is a presence here. I want you to grab hold of this time and chance. Grab hold of this time and chance. And peradventure, you feel like you have lost opportunities because you have been so timid and afraid of trouble. The Bible says he is the one who restores the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer one have consumed. God is the restorer of years. The Bible says Sarah was barren. She was so barren that the Bible says that Abraham, everybody was just laughing, because some things you can comprehend, but some things are way past comprehension. At 90, not only was her ovaries, everything was just gone. Everything was gone. But time and chance happened. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. What time and chance are you being faced with right now? AKA, what trouble are you facing right now? What time and chance are you facing right now? AKA, what viper? What venomous situation? If you want to come to the altar for me to pray with you, feel free. I will pray with you. I will join my faith with you, that your faith will not fail you. Open your mouth and pray. Rabas kerebos salaraba shekerabaraba. Rebos kerebos salaraba shekerebos salerebos sakarabaraba. Reboko salaraba shekerababa. Robos sekerebaraba. Spirit of the living God, rabos sekereba. Nerebos salamarabaraba. I am calling forth Boazes. Rabba shekereba. Away with Elimelech. No more shall we crumble in the face of famine. But like Isaac, we will sow in the land. And in the same year, we will get 100-fold. And God himself will bless us. Robo sakalaba shekereba. Where are my pals who are faced with vipers? Who are faced with people who are betraying you? Come forth, Rabasha. Shake the beast into the fire. Shake the beast into the fire. Because they are watching and waiting to see, would he die? Would he crumble? But that is your time to shine. That is your time to say, there is a God in me. That he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Somebody open your mouth and pray. Somebody open your mouth and pray. A national law was passed. A national law was passed. And Daniel said, I will not be moved by this law. I will not be moved by this law. I will not be moved by this law. I see this law as an opportunity for the name of Jesus to be glorified. And the Bible says that he goes and he stands before the king.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. And he goes before the king. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar falls on his face and he worships a mere man, because he understood that a time of trouble is not a time to back down, but it's a time to face in court mighty ones. John, could you help me pray, please? Please, could you just help me pray for those in front? Rabba, shake it about. I know there are more of you who need to come out here. There are more of you who need to come out here. The presence of the Lord is here. And for those of you who know me, I don't say this often. I don't say this often. I don't say this often. I don't say the presence of God is here often. But I know what I heard. I know what I heard. And I know who I believe. I know who I believe. The Bible says, for the mother of Jesus, there is no more wine in a time of famine. Brother Pastor, Minister John, could you please pray for them, please? And in a time of lack, he did his first miracle. And the Bible says that after that day, his disciples believed in him. In a time where there was no more wine, where there was a lack, where there was emptiness, where there was drought, that was the time, and his disciples believed. His disciples believe. Nariye bos kereba, kereba se kereba sokala. Come on, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. That thing has not come to kill you, Pastor D. It has come because there is a championship at stake. There is a belt at stake. And who wins the belt? If you get into the ring, you don't win a battle outside the ring. You have to step into the ring. You have to step into the place of trouble. You have to step into the place of famine, of confusion. You step in there and you face your adversary. You face your adversary in the name of Jesus. Somebody open your mouth and pray. The time has come for you to face what has troubled you, because that is your time. That is your time and your chance. Keep praying for them, please. Keep praying for them, please. I am not laying my hands on anyone, lest you say a man did it for you. It is you and God right now. It is you and God right now. It is you and God right now. Let the power of God come down in this place. Let the power of God come down in this place, God. Let the power of God come down in this place. I pray for you, Jen, that your strength will not fail you. Your faith will not fail you. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Can I have everyone in church praying, please? No spectators. Everyone pray. No spectators. Everyone pray. Everyone pray. Everyone pray. Everyone pray. Everyone pray. Maria Bosakalaba. Rabos Kerebos Sakalababa. Rabas Shekerebo. Larababa. Kerebo, can I have the drums? Andreas, Pastor K, can I have the drums, please? Drums, drums. Where's Makaya? Rebos Kereba Shekereba. Reboka Sekereba Shekerebaba. Rorebaba. Somebody push. Somebody push in the place of prayer. The troubled waters. The waters are troubled. Not to drown you. The waters are troubled. Not to kill you. Jonah, when the belly of a whale, the trouble you are feeling is because the fish is about to eject you. The trouble in the mouth, in the belly of the whale. Trouble in the belly of the fish is because the whale, the fish, is about to vomit you out. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Time and chance happens to us all. It happens to us all. Justin, your time. Your time. Shake that venom. Shake it off. Shake off the viper.
the fire, because they are watching. Will she stand or will she fall? Will she stand or will she fall? But I know who I believe. I know who I believe. Because the Bible says, he that is on the inside of me is greater than the trouble I see around me. Is greater than the trouble I see around me. Elimelech, don't go to Moab. Don't go to Moab. Elimelech, stay in the land of famine, because God is raising up Boazes. He is raising up mighty men. He is looking for who he will trust with kingdom wealth. Rabas Kerema, Elimelech, don't leave to go to Moab.
La 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 maske ne boshi kera maraka samba.
There is a grace and a strength being released right now. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord my strength. Don't step on the instruments, please. He says that God teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Don't step on the keys and the drums, because I was made for war. I was born into battle. I was born into battle. So how do you think your time and your chance will be made manifest without a battle? Brother Kenton, help me on the keys, please. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. My strength. My strength.
My strength. My strength, 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 yes, you are my strength,
my strength, my strength.
My strength. Yes, you are my strength. Yeah, my strength. Yes, you are my strength. Yeah, my strength. You are my strength. You are, you are my strength. You are, you are my strength. Yeah,
I'm gonna pray for you right now. Strength.
You are my strength.
You are crumbling on the ring.
You are my strength.
You are crumbling in your pressure.
You are my strength.
It has not come to kill you.
You are my strength.
It has not come to kill you.
You are my strength.
It has come to make you stronger.
You are my strength. You are my strength.
Oh God, in this place right now, strength. Lift your hands, everyone.
You are my strength.
Lift your hands, everyone.
You are my strength.
Strength.
Strength. You are my strength.
Strength. Strength.
You are my strength.
Strength. Drums, just the drums.
You are my strength.
Rabba, just the drums. And Pastor D, please.
You are my strength.
It has not come to kill you.
You are my strength. You are my strength. Hey, you are my strength.
A championship is at stake.
You are my strength.
A belt is at stake.
Oh, you are my strength.
strength, 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 strength.
Stand up on your feet.
Strength.
It's a time of
strength.
Prophetically. Stand up on your feet.
Strength.
And march if you want to.
Strength.
But receive strength.
Strength.
No more. No more.
Strength.
No more.
Strength.
No more.
Strength.
Please, please.
Strength.
Strength.
Strength. Strength. You are my strength. 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 You are my strength. 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 You are my strength.
Now,
strength,
just the voice.
Strength, you are my strength.
Just the voice.
Strength, strength. You are my strength. Strength, strength. You are my strength. Strength.
Continue.
Strength, you are my strength. Strength, strength. 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 You are my strength, 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 strength, strength,
strength.
You are my strength,
strength,
strength. You are my hope, hope, hope. You are my hope. Hope, you are my hope, hope, hope,
strength and
hope. You are my hope,
strength and
hope. You are my hope,
strength and hope.
Strength, hope. You are my hope, strength, hope. You are my strength, hope, strength. You are my strength, hope, strength. You are my strength, hope, strength. You are my hope,
strength,
hope,
strength.
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 Strength,
Lord.
Strength, Lord.
If you want me to pray with you, just come to the phone very quickly. Very quickly. Strength, Lord.
You are my strength.
Strength, Lord.
You are my strength, Lord. You are my strength, Lord. You are my strength.
Strength. Strength. Strength. Strength. Strength. Strength. Strength. Strength. Strength over your people, God. Strength over this house. Strength. Strength. Lord, as from today, we make this declaration before heaven and earth and everything underneath, that you are the strength of our lives and you are our portion forevermore. God, because of this assurance, when the viper comes, when the famine and the trouble and the giants come, let us stand knowing that the battle is not ours, but it belongs to God. And you have never lost a battle. I hear this for someone. I hear this for someone very clearly. God wants to fight your battle, but He needs you to stay in the ring. God wants to fight your battle, but He needs you to stay in the ring. Can I have Minister Elizabeth and Sister Elaine with the communion, please? And as you take the communion, I want you to believe that you are receiving strength from God. As from today, don't look at that situation or that circumstance the same way. You are more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus.